We're continuing in the study of God in view. And we're talking about today about God's provision, that God is a God who provides. It's our third message in this series, and this is a five-part series. We've already seen how God is holy. We've seen last week how God protects. Today we're talking about how God provides. And it's a series that comes out of the book of Isaiah. And we're looking here at these qualities of God. It's important how you see God, because that affects how you relate to him, how you perceive God, these narratives that you have going on in your mind about who God is. That affects how you relate to him, and how you relate to him affects your entire life. It affects entirely all the things that you do in your life. So my hope is that in this series, it might be an opportunity for you to come to a better place in how you view God. So our series theme is this. God in clear view will mean a better you. And we're not here just talking about like self-help, getting to being in a better place, but we're just talking about the kind of person God has designed you to be. As you see God in clear view, you will respond to him in a way that will cause you to be more of the person God has created you to be. And we saw when we talked about how God is holy, that we respond with humility. It causes us to be humble. We talked about last week that fact that God, that he protects, we respond with praise for what God does. And so there's a response to today's thing. And all of these things call us to be a better you, a better person. And we're starting each of these messages saying the Lord's Prayer together, because it's the goal of us as followers of Christ is to get to know the God that Jesus knows. And so we're seeing how who Jesus portrays God to be in the Lord's Prayer is echoed in these same qualities of God we find in the book of Isaiah. So please join me this morning as we say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may have noticed that in the Lord's Prayer we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And that's what we're talking about today, how God is our provider. Our Heavenly Father provides for the needs of his children. When we go to the book of Isaiah, the passage we're looking at today is in chapter 40, the last five verses. In Isaiah, this book is filled with these strong words of confrontation. And at times, frankly, it's hard to read those words. They are just so strong. But Isaiah is also filled with soothing words of comfort. And in fact, the book sort of easily divides. And it's not that you can't find comfort in one section and not in the other, or vice versa. But the book sort of divides. In the first 39 chapters is more of these strong words of confrontation. And then starting in chapter 40, where we start today, is more of this message of comfort. In fact, the Jewish rabbis called this section that we're looking at starting it today the Book of Consolation. So we're beginning, and we're going to just look at the last five verses of Isaiah 40. These are familiar verses. You may find yourself recognizing these verses. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow weary or grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. And then we have this verse that you know so well. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not be faint. This is actually a prophetic passage, and we're going to see how this week what we're talking about is God's provision should call for our reliance. In this passage, Isaiah is looking ahead from his day to a future time when his people would be taken into captivity. And what happens in that situation? Well, those long years of exile are going to make the people start to wonder about God. It's call up doubts about him. They've been carried off to this foreign land, and they begin to believe that God's eye is no longer on them. And they seem to be saying here, God is not listening to them, and God is not helping them, that he's kind of not there for them anymore. He's not there to provide the help, not there to provide the strength that they need. And that may be something that you find yourself wondering. That is God listening to your cry for help? And if he does hear your cry, is he there? Is he really going to help you? But we want to see today that God does provide, and we should respond with our reliance. Because we need God's provision. We need his strength. We need his supply to meet the needs that we have, to face the things that come into our life, but also to become that person that God has created us to be. God has put things in your life that are still a little bit like unmined gold, that still need to be refined, that still need to be called forth from you. And you're not going to be able to do that all by yourself. You're going to need what God provides for you to become more fully that person. In the New Testament, Paul wrote about God's supply, and he said this, God is able to make all grace abound to you. He's really talking about this idea of supply, of provision. So that in all things, notice this, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Like, God just covers all the bases. He doesn't want you to think that somehow you're going to slip through the cracks, that somehow the need that you have is not going to be there. He just puts all in this verse all over the place. Did you notice that? Well, if you and I are to respond with reliance on God for his provision, then what moves you? Toward reliance? Well, first of all, if we look in this passage, one thing that moves you is God in sharper focus. I thought this was interesting because this is really the whole idea of our series, is getting a clear view of God, God in view. And it's really right here in our passage. And it seems that the people of Isaiah's day were bringing God down to their own level. They were thinking that he had either forgotten them or that he was tired. And perhaps because they had such a long history of forgetting God. And one of the ways that we can think of God is that he's going to treat us like we treat him. And I think a verse that I skipped over, maybe back here, right here, yeah. Back there. God does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. This is really foreign to our thinking. Because we're just so used to being treated as we've treated others. We're so used to expecting from people kind of what we think we deserve. And God says that he's not going to treat us that way, not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. What did Isaiah say to the people of his day? By the way, this idea of God's pardon, we're going to talk more about that next week. That's going to be our theme for next week. But what did Isaiah say to his people? He spoke, first of all, of God's greatness, the greatness of God. He said, do you not know, have you not heard that the Lord is the creator of the ends of the earth? He's the everlasting God. He's not going to grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. And notice how he even uses this verse here. It's about lifting up your eyes to look into the heavens, you know, as a way of us remembering how great God is. That might be something that would be helpful for us maybe sometime when we're just sort of doubting kind of in God's greatness, is just to go outside at night and look up into the stars and realize that God has brought all of these stars into being. And it's interesting how it puts it here. He who brings out the starry hosts one by one, he's the one who's created them. He calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. You can go out and the stars aren't going to be missing, not one of them tonight, because God is faithful. God is the one who has called them forth. Well, it talks here about God being creator. It talks about how God is everlasting, that he's eternal. Kind of like the way the Message Bible says it. It says, God doesn't come and go. God lasts. God lasts. God's forever. It points out God's power, that he'll not grow tired or weary. He does not need an energy drink like we do sometimes. He doesn't need a nap, which I love a lot. He doesn't fall asleep on the job. He's not all tired out at the end of the day. God has strength to spare. He has strength to share. And he tells us, Isaiah does, how God is all wise. His understanding, no one can fathom. He knows everything, and he knows what's best for everyone, even when we might not agree. We can't even grasp the depth of his knowledge. So these qualities of God tell us of his greatness, and we just need to be reminded of that. We need to remind ourselves how great God is, how he is everlasting, how he's the creator, how he's all-powerful, how he is all-wise. But Isaiah not only talks about how God is great, the greatness of God, he also talks about the goodness of God. And you know, God could have all these amazing qualities, but if he wasn't good, it'd be terrifying. But we know that God is good. It says here that God gives strength to the weary and he increases the power of the weak. In other words, he notices when we're weary. He notices when we're weak. And he's able to give what we need. He's able to give the power. He's able to give the strength. That's because he's good. He does that because he is a good God. You can look up and see the greatness of God, but sometimes you look around and you see the suffering in the world, and you might be more tempted to wonder about the goodness of God. But God is good. If you read the Psalms over and over again, you'll read, the Lord is good. I picked one out. I think I did anyway. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. In other words, it's not that we're just saying over and over again, the Lord is good, and somehow you don't really have any evidence that you sort of take it by faith. You can taste, you can experience, you can really get in on what it is. This is about God being good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. When our view of God comes into sharper focus, it's going to move us toward reliance on him. But there's something else that moves us toward reliance, and that is, when we get a grip on our own limits. When we get a grip on our own limits. Now, I don't know if you've had an experience lately that sort of reinforced the idea that you have limits, but I have, and it has to do with the computer. A computer can really just sort of make you feel like, boy, I just don't know what to do here. I'm sort of at the end of what I understand. And a couple things happened to me. One is, I think not only, it was maybe on my phone, you know, the smartphones, they're just computers as well, right? So I was on my smartphone one time, and I don't know exactly what I did, but I somehow red flagged every email in like my email. And what it did is it put it on my calendar as tasks. And so I had this humongous list of tasks, these red flag things. And I'm not kidding. I spent days, you know, where at church here, when I was on my laptop, I'd click a bunch of them and remove them from the list, and my computer would like freeze up, like, what are you asking us to do here? It's like, you know, you haven't done all of these things, and so there was that happened, and so I could only do a few, and then last night, I mean, I've been doing this for weeks. Trying to delete these flagged items. And then last night I discovered at home on the desktop, because not only are they on my laptop, they're also on my desktop computer. All of these, every time I open Outlook, here's all these tasks I haven't done, you know. I realized that computer did not freak out. And man, I spent 15 minutes deleting, and I finally removed all of those red flagged things off of my computer. But I was thinking that, I got myself into this mess. I don't even know how. And, you know, it's hard to figure out what to do. The other thing that happened, I'm sorry, I'm getting all excited about this, but the other thing that happened was when I upgraded to Windows 10, some of you guys did that, somehow I lost my contacts. They're in the cloud somewhere. I know that sounds like strange language. You don't know what I'm talking about. I don't even know what I'm talking about. But somewhere in the cloud, my contacts are flying around. And Julianne helped me get them back here on my laptop. But at home, they're still missing. And the problem is when I click on one of your names, I don't know how to fix it. You know, I click on your name and my computer makes the sound like, no, boop, you know, you made the wrong thing. You did something wrong. Don't you love that? And, you know, I clicked all around. I researched, you know, I tried to figure out, and I don't know what to do. I have come to my limit in facing a computer. It doesn't take long sometimes, does it, to just come to grips with your own limits. But it's so important. And that's a humorous story. But let me just say that there are really serious things that happen in our life that make us feel like, I am in over my head, and I don't have what it takes to face this. Let me tell you, I may not preach this sermon well, but I want you to know, I know this well. I know this well. I know that life hits you in the face, and you're just standing there like, how am I going to deal with this? I do not have what it takes to deal with this. And it's so important, though, that we come to that recognition that of our own limits, that our capacity, it still comes up lacking, even in the best of situations. It says even the young and vigorous have limits. They get tired. They become weary. And the reference is to our physical stamina, but it's a visual image of a truth that affects all of us. We like to believe we have what it takes to face any challenge in any situation, but sooner or later, something comes along that's bigger than we are, and we find that we do not have the strength in ourselves to face it. Now, that's not to say we don't have any strength or that we can't provide some for ourselves. We noticed last week, we were trying to understand a little bit more about God's protection. This is from last week. And we just said, it's important for us to understand that you are part of your own protection. God has given you kind of the ability to have responsibility to see risk and be able to take steps to protect yourself, reasonably so. We also said when things happen and you don't feel like you were protected, we have to remember that your perspective is limited. You don't see the whole picture God sees. And then we said that you are part of God's protection of others. So when someone needs protected, sometimes God calls you to be that person if you have the capacity to do so, to defend the defenseless. Well, it's really interesting that God's protection, God's provision are just very close together. And so we can just say these same things, that you have a part in your own provision. God says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. In other words, he's given you the responsibility to go out and provide for your family, provide for yourself. If you have the capacity to do so, you have a part in that. We'd have to say also that your perspective is limited. When it seems like God doesn't provide, we don't understand everything. We don't know all that God is doing. So again, our perspective is still limited, even when it comes to this area of God's provision. And in addition, you are a part of God's provision for others. One of the things that we looked at last week, and that actually I think Kathy read today from Isaiah 58, is that not this fast that God has called us to, is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? Do you see that this provision thing is going on here? When you see the naked, to clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. And so God's calling us to be a part of the protection that he's wanting to provide in somebody else's life. But though you have strength to work and strength to help others, sole or complete reliance on your strength is going to ultimately lead to a fall. And that's what the picture is here. The imagery here that we see is the picture of young men dropping out, young men stumbling, young men falling. And this isn't fun when it happens. When we come to the end of our strength, when you find yourself on the side of the road and your tank is dry. But it's such a condition, but it's just that condition that leads you to put your reliance on God, to supply you with the strength that you need. So if you don't come to that place where you just realize you don't have the resources, then you're not as likely then to turn to God for his resources. Paul talked about kind of a time that happened in his life where he just came to the end of what they had, he had. He says, we do not want you to be uninformed. It's 2 Corinthians. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. So can you hear Paul? He's just saying, man, this was a really desperate situation. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But notice, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, a God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. As you help us by your prayers, here again, see how the help is coming from others by their praying. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. I just want to say quickly that your prayers for people, I just mentioned today a couple of families that really need your prayers. Your prayers for them really make a difference. I hope that you really took that seriously when I asked you to pray for them today. Paul talks about his situation here, how the end of themselves kind of led to this idea that they then turned to God to rely on him for the help that he needed. And later on, Paul would talk about this idea that Jesus appeared to him and said, my grace is sufficient for you for whatever you're facing, for my power is made perfect in weakness, in times of weakness. You know, it's amazing timing that we're talking about this passage today, because God often uses something I'm trying to work on to speak to you about. He uses that in my own life. And today, or this week, I received a phone call. And you know what? I felt like I was in, just talking on the phone with the need that was presented, I felt like I was in the deep end of the water and I didn't know how to swim. Do you know what that's like? Like, I'm going down and I don't know, you know, how to prevent it. And what that does is it just says, okay, you can't do this on your own. You are going to need the help of God to do this. And I just said, well, that's my passage this week. That's what I'm speaking on, that God is able to enter this very kind of situation and provide the strength, provide the help, provide what I need so that I can do what God is calling me to do. Are you experiencing that? You and I like to feel we can handle what's coming at us, but things come or will come that will show that you are limited. That will move you to reliance. But what else moves us to reliance? It is the gift of God's strength. In other words, God gives strength to the weary. He's the one who gives this strength. He is a giver. It is the characteristic of God, something he does all the times, at all times. This transfer of trust happens where you quit trusting in yourself for what you can do, and you trust in God, and that brings about an exchange of strength. Did you pick up what Paul said? He said, this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God. There is a response called for on our part before we can receive what God has to give, and it's what we've been talking about all morning. It's this idea of reliance. In a minute, we'll talk about that verse. We are to hope expectantly, or to wait for the Lord, the verse says. And this speaks of a confidence. It speaks of a reliance. It speaks of a trust, a patience, a dependence that we are to have on the Lord. Waiting means that there may be a delay between when you looked with confidence toward God and when the actual supply of strength was given to you. That's the idea of waiting, is that you look to God, but you're still waiting for that response to happen. And in James 5, notice how the farmer does this, that he waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and that he's patient for the autumn and the spring rains. And this is the idea of waiting, and yet not without purpose, but waiting with expectancy is the idea. Waiting with hope, waiting with trust. And remember how Paul says his experience of hardship was meant to move his reliance from being on himself to being on God. That's a transfer of trust that must happen. When you choose yourself as the one to depend on, it's like standing on one foot. Now you say, well, I think I could do that. But then you have to realize that you have a bruised thigh, a quad muscle, you have a torn ACL, you have a severe ankle sprain, and your Achilles tendon is messed up. You can't stand on that leg. It won't support you. But how can we picture the reliance that we're to have on God? This is the idea of holding fast to God. And there's this verse, I'm going to skip that one, Joshua 23:8, but you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. You're to hold fast. And this idea of just like if you were out on the water and there was a large rock there, and if you were like me, you're in water over your head and you can't swim and you're going down, but there's a rock and you can hold on to this rock and it's going to save your life. The way you hold on to that rock, it's like you have that grip on that rock that says, this is what I'm hanging on to and I'm trusting nothing else. That's the idea of this idea of trust. And when this is our response to God, this reliance, what happens is that God gives you something in return. God gives you something in return. And this is really what I want you to see, that when our reliance is on God, what he gives you is something that is very real. And it's hard to explain this because it's intangible. And it's not obvious to our senses that God did something. But make no mistake that it is real. God has supplied you with strength. God has supplied you with help. And what it says here is that God renews our strength. And the word has the idea of change or substitute or change for better, renew. And Isaiah is talking about an exchange of strength. And for these early readers, that meant that God would change out their depleted strength with a capacity beyond their own to endure the trials of their exile. And with you and me, it means that whatever we face, God can provide the strength. Whatever we need for that challenge or situation, God has just what we need. And he will exchange our depleted strength, our empty tank, for his full supply of strength that is going to you're going to experience and wonder, where did that strength come from? How can I do this very thing? It's because God has provided that strength. I want us to see that verse again. But those who hope in the Lord will renew, will exchange their weak strength for God's powerful strength. And then notice this idea. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. What is going on there with these various stages? You know, some say it's just an image, but it seems to be they're saying something more in different ways. There's a definite gradation here of some kind. And when Jesus said, you know, ask and it'll be given, seek and you find and knock, there's that idea of there's a building of these ideas. And it might have made more sense to us had it been apparent in this verse that, you know, he started off with walking and then talked about running and finally ended up with soaring as eagles. But there, you know, it's really this idea, it could very well be a buildup even as it stands, because flying is something that would be exceptional. We wouldn't do that often, perhaps. And running happens occasionally, but walking is constant. It's what you do constantly. So there are times maybe you need to soar, and God has the strength for that. or you might need to run, and God can supply so you can run. But there's just a lot of walking involved in life. And it's just that day after day of showing up and facing things, and God can provide for that. God can provide what you need for a daily walk over some challenging piece of terrain. You know, walking up each day, or waking up each day with a serious health issue, or driving each workday to a difficult job, or going on in a troubled marriage, or handling an ongoing challenging relationship, or working through the grief process, or facing a temptation that seems to just dog your steps, or facing finances that just seem like they go after you in a terrible way. God has the strength to give you to face those things every single day. And so, though you might like to feel this surge of strength with a sense of being invincibly strong, it is more likely that your experience of God's empowerment will be much quieter, perhaps less dramatic than that, but no less real. No less real. Whatever the circumstances, God will give you, in response to your reliance, the power to endure, to overcome, to rise above what you face. I'm going to borrow from last week, and I need to close this. Consider how God has provided for you. I just want you to think about that this week. What are the ways God's provided for you? I locked my keys in my car this week. And you know, that's a terrible feeling, is the door just shut, and you realize, oh no, my keys are inside. And I was at the hospital, and I didn't know what to do. And in less than about 2 minutes, Juliana, our secretary, drove by. I mean, I couldn't have asked. I hadn't had time to pray and ask God for help, and he supplied it. Consider how God has provided for you. Praise daily and pray daily for his provision. Jesus, in the Lord's Prayer, prayed for God's provision. Give us today what we need. That should be a prayer we pray each day. And then provide for those in need. There are those who you can be a part of God's provision because he's blessed you in such a way to do so. I love Philippians 4. I'm just going to read it even though I don't have time. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last, Paul said, you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. Tell the Philippians just how much he appreciates them. I'm not saying this because I am in need. I just love Paul's attitude here. For I've been content, I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Paul said, if I don't get, you know, the kind of cream in my coffee that I love, I'm going to be okay. He said, I know what it is to be in need. I've been there, he said. But I also know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles, he said. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I sent out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. Or even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And now Paul's going to give them something in return for all that they've given him. And it's not a repayment. What it is, it's a promise. And it's a promise for you and I too. It's this promise. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. We have a God who provides. Praise him for that. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for the provision you supplied for us. And Lord, today we just want to thank you. You are a God who's not only great, but you're also good. We want to thank you that not only are you all-powerful, Lord, but you share your power with those in need. And Lord, today we want to respond with our trust and reliance on you. Lord, we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.